kick off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
Hall are with you. We've gone from the hardwood, and today we've got news from the diamond and the gridiron. Head coach of James Island Baseball, Matt Spivey, will join us. He is, with that program, two-time defending state champions. Of course, Jody Jenneret, the new head coach at Conway, the old head coach at Conway. That's going to be a fun conversation. Steve, I know we've got news as well. We almost always have like this little administrative news from the South Carolina High School League or something coming out of the legislature there in Columbia that we want to talk about. But we'll get into that in just a moment. I have to ask you, is your bracket intact?
I didn't actually do one.
That's
what makes it a little bit more enjoyable for me. I don't have to live and die by each one. I get to just watch the games for what they are.
I had no idea you weren't American. I didn't know that. To be honest,
it's a bit of a I filled out a bracket in freshman year in college, right? Mm-hmm. Won it. And haven't won anything since. In anything. Any gambling. If it's gambling, I haven't won anything since. So I'm protesting it.
So
that's right.
This is being recorded, right?
That's right.
Also, no, but you never do one any year. You never do this.
I mean, no, I've done it a lot, but this year I was like so focused on Four Quarter Friday and my day job, and spring break is this week. We're going to be taking the family down to the beach, trying to go to Folly Beach for a day. My daughter is officially a teenager. She wants to go to the beach, and it's really not beach weather yet because the water's freezing cold. So I'm trying to think of activities to do with my son because he's going to get bored in about 5 minutes. But she wants to lay out in the sun, and, you do what you can for your princess.
No question, but there's plenty to do on Folly Beach and plenty to see. You can walk him around, and lots of great places to eat too. There, hopefully future sponsors. So I won't give anybody a free plug.
Well, we'll get a few suggestions here soon with Coach Spivey.
That's right. You got the Lost Dog there. Rita's. You have a good burger at Rita's, and almost always get live music on the corner. Love Folly Beach, but you have to be committed because once you're on Folly Beach, you're on Folly Beach. Don't try to leave with the traffic.
Yeah.
You're
that's
trapped.
Right. You got to get that parking spot, right?
That's right. You have to fight from the parking spot. But hey, we do have, I'm excited about Coach Matt Spivey joining us today. James Island head baseball coach, my first love, baseball. And it's, so I always want to get into that. And then Jody Jenneret, who's going to get you fired up, I promise. If you're not awake when we have Jody Jenneret on, coming up around 9:30, you're going to get jarred by Coach Jenneret. He's after it. He will get after you. So as he says, bring your pad level. Your pad level better be low if you come to Conway. So we'll have those two championship level coaches. That's going to be fun. But I said we have some administrative news always. Every week it seems, Steve. So what's the latest? I know the latest has to do with the transfer portal. And, they've been looking at that, changes, potential changes. So what's the latest there out of Columbia?
Well, the South Carolina Athletic Administrators had their conference in Charleston this past week. Okay. And that's a conglomerate of all the athletic directors, principals, and some of the superintendents as well, I think might be going. And they met, they go for, just continuing education and then also, talking about key issues, voting on those issues, and the transfer rule was a big part of that discussion this week. And it appears that they decided to stick with the status quo with what we have in place now as far as regarding the senior transfers, especially. So the rule states currently that a senior transfer, now they were grandfathered in this past year, But once you have entered in your senior season, if you are going to transfer, you will sit out 1/3 of the games or 22 days, whichever is, I think, shorter. And so they decided to keep that in place. There are a few amendments on the floor, like, you know, one amendment from Lexington One, I believe, was to, you know, just strike out the 22 days part and just make it 1/3 of the games. That was voted down. There was another.
That makes sense to me, though. That makes some sense. I wonder why that was voted down. So
if I had to take a guess, it was probably to maybe, and I don't know, I don't have any inside information on this, but to kind of get away or to kind of avoid some heat from the legislature. You know, we still have that bill up at the legislature that it passed the House, I think unanimously almost. And so, you know, to kind of avoid any sort of back and forth with them.
Okay.
I think that would be my guess.
What is your take on the transfer rule as it is now? And do you think it's going to change when the athletic directors can take a deep breath? You think more ideas are coming, in other words? Is this the end of it? Or do you think this is something?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's the end of it. No, I don't. I mean, it's just going to continue to be talked about and it's going to be tweaked. Hopefully it will be settled sooner rather than later. I hope it doesn't become like reclassification where you're talking about it every 2 years or every year and always making changes to it. But I think it's the conversation is here to stay for a while. You know, I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. There's a lot of good ideas out there. The one thing that if I were to have any say so, which I don't, because they eat it, live it, mm-hmm. breathe it every day. I'm around them a lot, or I'm around educators a lot. So, you know, I have an educated opinion. But if it were me, I would really hone in on taking the bona fide move transfer and making that easier for somebody and their family to go through with the process. Because if I get a new job, or Smitty, you get a new job and your kids move, then you should not have to really apply for a hardship. And then it should be on the district, you know, especially the new district that you're moving into, to verify that you are indeed living there.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense because the last thing anybody that's had to move jobs, if you've moved kids in the middle of a school year, the last thing you want to have to worry about is, wait, now what? You're not eligible to play sports at this new school yet? What are we talking about? As you said, when it's real life stuff, and the phrase that's always used is bona fide. These are bona fide moves. These are not moves right. specifically for athletics to get a better opportunity for those kids from an athletic standpoint. The move, if it's bona fide, is not a hardship. It's just sometimes might have been a raise. We're moving to Mount Pleasant. Things are going well. We're going to Rock Hill. I got a new job in banking in Charlotte. And the last thing you want to have to worry about is if it is bona fide, is what's going on with your kids' athletics. You hope that they could just go to their new school, make new friends, and play right away. But that is a debate we will revisit. For me, I don't know that I have strong feelings because I continue to dig into it. I always hear a lot of pros and cons in discussions like these. And I just like what Shane Fidler said to us, the athletic director at White Knoll, a few weeks ago, which is, hey, just make sure you have the right voices in the room. Make sure you're getting representation from all of these principals, athletic directors, coaches, parents. Let them all speak so that you can see it from every angle. And don't just have a few people that are frustrated with the system talking about it. Have people come in and say, well, this is why it is the way it is, and here's 100 different scenarios, and here's 88 that are good, 12 that are bad, and then we start weighing these things. And I thought that was a well thought out response. And of course, if you go to our YouTube channel, Fourth Quarter Friday, you could see some of those old interviews up there, and Shane Fidler, athletic director at White Knoll, is one of them.
Yeah, you say old, though. They're not that old. I mean, just not that old. A couple weeks. They're still relevant. Yep. Yeah, still relevant. And, yeah, excited to dig into some actual games and talk to some coaches. Smitty, man, Matt Spivey and Coach Jenneret are awesome. They were awesome. We had the chance to interview them earlier in the week because of their schedules needing to kind of be more flexible. The live show wasn't really attainable for them this week, so we just had to get it figured out in some way.
That's right, but it's fresh to you, so that's what's coming up.
That's right.
We're going to have, at the end of the show, we will close it out with Jody Jenneret, new head coach at Conway. We're also going to talk about spotlight some of the best baseball teams in our state, some of the defending champions, how they've done kind of out of the box. Coming out, you know, some of these teams are only 6 games into their season. Some of them are now 9-10 games into their season, depending on whether they played in one of those tournaments. We're going to talk about North Myrtle Beach. We're going to talk about MacB. We're going to talk about James Island and Dorman and all of these teams that are having success last year and then this year, and maybe who can crash the party. So we'll do all of that. But next, we've got head coach Matt Spivey, 2-time defending champion James Island. We got Matt Spivey to join us. So you will see that when we come back. We're talking baseball here on Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network.
It's football season. The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamaduro's Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamaduros, we're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
You're tuned into the state of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. It's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my stitches and my stitches and my stitches in my pride. It's a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together. It's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching pride. Pride.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, and we are talking to baseball coaches from across the state this spring. So we wanted to start at the top. Matt Spivey has got the James Island Trojans looking for state title 3 in a row, his third title in a row. And we've got Matt Spivey joining us right now. I actually got to see your team coach at the Classic in Georgetown. You were very impressive in a 10-run win over Southside Christian. So we wanted to have you on. You're kind of we're kicking off baseball season in a lot of ways with you.
I appreciate you guys having me. Excited to be here and talk a little bit about James Island baseball and give some insight to what we do here and what's going to happen this season.
Well, take us backward before we go forward. Let's go backward if we could, Coach. You've won 2 in a row, and last year was like a walk-off thriller. So tell us about last year's team and how that, you know, kind of how many guys you have back from that group that got to experience all of that last season and all that pressure cooker that now are a part of your club this spring.
Yeah, man, really the story starts in 2024, our last year in 4A before we jumped up to 5A Division I. But that 4A team in 2024 was just a team full of grinders. We were good, talented-wise. And a lot of those kids came back in 2025. We graduated 6 and 24 from that team that just went on an incredible run. And then, you know, we jumped into last year, and with the big boys in 5A. And really, I knew that we had a chance to be really good. And obviously internally you talk about being good and wanting to be the number one team and run it back. But once the season starts, that stuff stops and you don't talk about it anymore. And you just play one game at a time. And you look up in the middle of the season and my goodness, you know, we only had 2, maybe 3 losses at one point, and you're like, okay, well, maybe we are pretty good. And then you roll into the playoffs and it's anybody's game. And Coach Hux, you know, fast forward to the state championship series, and Coach Hux always has a well-coached team up there in Lexington. And you know, we knew that series was going to be really difficult. And I think the biggest thing that happened in that series for us that benefited us was that Game 1 was at home. We got the home walk-off here in Game 1, and then Game 2 at their place didn't quite go our way. And Game 3 is just a storybook in and of itself. You know, one of our best players, senior, playing his last game in his high school career on the biggest stage that he could possibly be and gets thrown out in second, third inning. The Trojans were up 3-0 at that point. Just kind of became a wild ride from that point. You knew Lexington had a punch in them with that talented lineup that they had. And we took 24 kids to that game dressed out, and we played 19 of them because we had to change so much with a player being injected for a play at the plate. So it was just a real testament to our team that we were able to punch first, get punched back, and handle the adversity of our best player, our leadoff hitter, being thrown out of a game, and ultimately came down to the last swing for us, and it was good for the Trojans. And that senior, Jake Ammon, had a tremendous career here, huge part of the 2 state championships that we've had, and now he's playing some really good baseball right across the bridge at Patriots Point for the Cougars. So, you know, that team also graduated 6, so we have 15 guys back from that team that had some taste of state championship and even really playing time. We try to divvy that thing up all year long so that those guys get some experience in game, not just being in the dugout. That's important. But stepping on the field in big games is also, I think, what makes us a little bit better towards the end of the year.
Coach, now we're in 2026. Y'all have gotten off to a 6-1 start. You've coached under some absolute legends in South Carolina high school baseball, Burt Basil at Somerville and Tom Hatley at James Island before you got the head job in 2018. Was there any experience that you had with those coaches and those staffs that prepared you to bring your team into the year ranked as the top team after 2 in a row? Like, is there anything that you have been able to use for this season?
You know, both of those guys are they're completely different, but they were also very good in their own rights. And I was fortunate enough to play for Burt Basil and go back and coach for him. Won a state title with him in 2003 as a player. I got to go back and coach with him. Coach Basil's just overall demeanor is probably the biggest thing that I took from him. Never too high, never too low. And, you know, he had some adversity in life off the field that he was able to just continually keep going and handle with a ton of grace. And I learned that from him. And then I thought after being with him, I was ready to be a head coach. And I had no idea that I was really ready to be a head coach until I got down here and worked for Coach Hatley. And Coach Hatley just taught me what it meant to really lead a team and what it means to run a program and the X's and O's and even all the stuff off the field. But Coach Hatley was always, you're never really playing the opponent. You're always just playing the game of baseball. And that's probably one of the bigger things that I learned from him was that just, you know, it doesn't matter who's in that other dugout. It's always about us and what we can control. And so that's something we preach on a daily basis to our teams. Like, we want to play the best competition in the state. That's our schedule. We'll prove that. But at the end of the day, we also know that we have to do what we do really well internally and not really worry about who's in that other dugout. We're playing the little white thing with red stitches on it. So we've got to go out and play really well every night.
Yeah, this is James Allen, head baseball coach Matt Spivey, joining us on Four Quarter Friday. Matt, why don't you tell us about some of your top players this season? And also, let me give you this quick scouting report that someone gave me in the press box in Georgetown. Let's see if you agree with it. The scouting report just was, hey, look, there are some college prospects, college commitments in this James Allen lineup, but what makes them special is the way they battle 1 through 9, that they're all tough outs all the way throughout the lineup. So you tell us about some of those players and tell us, you know, what you think of that scouting report.
Well, let me start with the scouting report. I believe that it's preached here every day. We hit every day, and we're going to hit for a while every day. We believe in it, but we also believe in just attacking and competing in the box. And if that's, you know, the top of our lineup sets the tone because we have some really good players. Some of those I'll talk about in just a second, but it's the bottom. The bottom is the difference maker. And we don't win a state title in the last 2 years without 7, 8, 9 in our lineup and how gritty they have been to get it to the top of our lineup where we're loaded with studs. There's no doubt. Tripp Ostergaard, a junior, committed to North Carolina, one of the best players in the country, but certainly one of the top players in our state in that junior class. He hits leadoff for us. We kind of made an adjustment in Georgetown and put him in the top. We had him hitting 2 behind Taj Marchand, but just to get Taj comfortable. Taj is a senior. He's been here since in the 8th grade. Tripp too, but Tripp's only a junior. But Taj senior, been around the block enough, and he's committed to go to Ole Miss if he doesn't get drafted and take that opportunity. He's had a lot of guys in here to see him, a lot of eyes on him this year. But he's the reigning 5A state player of the year. He hit 500 last year with 12 home runs. So his name speaks. Guys are going to circle him on the lineup card. And we know that everybody else has to be good around him, right? Because nobody's going to let Taj Marchand beat him. So Tripp has done a really good job of embracing that role. Once Taj is followed in lineup by senior Connor Dantzler, who's every bit as good on the baseball field as he is on the football field. He's a great quarterback. In fact, he's going to college to play quarterback at Tulsa. But I think he sold himself a little short. He could have been a college baseball player, a Division I college baseball player, a lot of juice in that bat. But Finn Pratt's another senior that we returned who's going to USC Sumter. And then from there, and it's just a bunch of juniors and sophomores who have had a lot of game experience that I do think are going to play college baseball anywhere from big time Division I to Division II junior college. That just really get it, man. They're just baseball players. They're going to be hard nosed. Everything that they do, we're going to be able to execute when we need to execute, and they're going to compete their tails off in the box and make it difficult for somebody to get us out 21 times in a game.
Coach, we got plenty of time to talk about the bats. You know, your stars are very well known, but let's talk about your pitching staff. Y'all are shutting some really good teams out, historically good teams, you know, Lexington and Berkeley recently. Talk about what's working well right now within that staff.
The pitching staff is always the question mark, right? We knew that we returned a lot of guys from last year. We graduated one dude who was a stud on our pitching staff, Colin Anderson, left-handed arm that gave us a lot of innings. And, you know, he has his own story from last year's state championship game three, where he went out and started and really dominated that Lexington lineup for a solid five innings and got to the point where we had run through all of our relievers and had to bring him back in the game because he was under his pitch count and ended up getting us out. And I would say that I could argue with you that he's the reason we won a state title because he came back in from center field to shut that game out for us and give us a chance to walk it off. But, you know, he's at Flodar now and doing his thing there. But we returned everybody else, and it was just a maturation process for all of them. They were good last year. We only lost four baseball games last year, so they already knew they were good. It was just taking the next step. And, yeah, it's been a surprise this year. Cooper Jones has probably been the biggest surprise. He's come out of the bullpen from the past 2 years and now being a starter for us and has been really lights out to start the year. So he's super exciting to watch. He's a lefty junior that's going to Auburn. And then we did pick up a transfer from Oceanside, Charlie Becker, who's a junior, who has come on and done a really good job. He's the guy who started at Lexington last week and pitched a really good game there and has been good for us in his two outings so far this year. And then from there, it's just I don't know that it's anything special. It's just a bunch of average guys who believe in our pitching coach, and our pitching coach is elite and puts them in the best possible positions to succeed. And they go out and execute, and the results speak for themselves.
Coach, if you would stay on that, talk to us about your pitching coach, because oftentimes they're not going to get a lot of ink, not a lot of publicity. Nobody's interviewing them. So tell us about who helps you in the dugout.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. James Island baseball is not because of Matt Spivey or even really the players, man. It's a collective. It is the entire organization. It's the coaches. As you just mentioned, our pitching coach, Austin Heflin. I've got two other guys who've been in the dugout with me for 8 years now. Lawton Hendricks, who coordinates our infielders, and our outfield coach and base running coach is Matt Porter, who's a graduate of James Island. He's also been here with me 8 years. And I think the strength of our program is that those guys have been right alongside of me for the last 8 years. So the continuity that we have and the trust that we have in one another is second to none. So, but Austin Heflin, man, we are nowhere near where I thought, where we would be if he wasn't here. He took over that role back in, I want to say 2019. He stepped in and has grown it ever since, and he deserves all the praise in the world. I tell people all the time, it's not me, it's him and our coaching staff, and ultimately it's the players because they're the ones who go out there and produce. But Coach Heflin does an incredible job for our pitching staff.
Well, Coach, you know, we heard you talking about Steve and I have been talking to as many coaches as we can about recruiting and especially relationships and in-state. And I know Steve wants to get into some of that. And we've heard, you know, Ole Miss and Auburn. And we also heard some Flodar and USC Sumter. And you've got a player over, as you said, across the bridge playing for Coach Holbrook. But tell us, if you will, about relationships with coaches in-state. I mean, you're one of the most prominent coaches with one of the most premier programs. And I'm hearing some of these big-time names that you've coached are getting out of the state. Tell us those stories and why it is you think that more and more players are leaving the state of South Carolina to play college baseball elsewhere.
You know, I don't know if I have all the answers to that one, but the short answer is the level of summer baseball that they play. Taj, Tripp, Cooper, they play on national teams that travel – all over the globe, or at least the states, to play baseball. And really college recruiting happens then. You know, I just get the phone call to say, hey, tell me about this kid. Is he a good kid? And how does he work for you? But they see them. They don't necessarily see them here on our fields. They see them during the summer. And so those opportunities come for them there. You know, I have some good relationships around the state. I wouldn't say that I have great relationships with the two big schools in state. You know, obviously every staff reaches out once or twice a year to find out who your top guys are. But, you know, the mid-majors I have a better relationship with and some of the Division II coaches. And that's through the travel ball circuit as well, because I coach in the summer as well. So I get to see these guys out on the road a little bit. But, and it's harder for them to recruit right now during our seasons. But just having been around, and like you said, our program has put us on the map, and those guys do want to know who we have and reach out. But, you know, I don't know why maybe we don't get a little bit more attention. We get some, and everybody's going to be like, well, what is he talking about? But, you know, we have some really good players that I think often get overlooked, even by the smaller schools in our state. And, you know, I'm happy to help get those guys anywhere we can, but we have some really good coaches in the state. And, you know, Coach Beckley down at the Citadel used to be on our staff. He coached here for probably 5 or 6 years with me, and then got the opportunity to go back with Triplets. So he's a huge help and resource when it comes to recruiting questions and getting these guys out there. But yeah, we have sent some kids to Clemson. I've never sent anybody to South Carolina off the top of my head, but Clemson, we sent one there who's since transferred to the College of Charleston. But yeah, those guys, I think they maybe recruit on a more national level than they do for us here in the state.
Coach, when did it change? Like, when me and you were in school, I think I saw you graduated in 2003. I was 2004. Honestly, 2004 through maybe even 2012, 13, you still saw a lot of South Carolina kids staying in state, trying to go to South Carolina, trying to go to Clemson, College of Charleston, all that. When did it change from the relationships between the university staffs and the high school staffs, and to what it is now?
You know, that's a hard question to answer, because I haven't always had the big time players to be able to answer those questions. But I think it's probably been I'd say last 8 to 10 years, kind of a shift, I think, you know. Even early on when I first got this job, I don't know that a ton of guys were reaching out. I just think that the availability and the ease of seeing kids throughout the summer and the falls that doesn't conflict with their schedules helps them tremendously. You know, our local guys do a great job of staying in touch and checking in with us. And we've got some smaller schools across our state that like to check in, but, as far as the recruiting, I can't say that they don't get involved. I've had several conversations with some big time coaches who say, hey, tell me about so-and-so, or what kind of kid is he? How does he work? And those are great. But in-state, man, I can't speak to Clemson and South Carolina, what it is that maybe that they just don't like what we produce in this state. Unfortunately, I think we produce some really good baseball players, and I think they get their fair share, but you know, South Carolina baseball used to be built on recruiting in state, and I don't know that that's the case anymore. And that's the name of the game with NIL also too, right? Like, you can go out and get another really good guy, and it's hard for them to take the high school kid over that. So a lot of your best players have to go look for opportunities elsewhere or settle for maybe a mid-major. And I say settle lightly, but you got to go look at the mid-majors, because if you want an opportunity to play, you got to go prove yourself somewhere first before maybe one of those big schools take an opportunity on you.
Well, let's get back on track. I know we kind of talked about recruiting a little bit. We got just a few more minutes with you, but what are your next couple of games? What's on your mind as far as scouting reports go? Kind of break down the next week for us.
Yeah, and we got one more tune-up before we jump into region play. We host White and Lowell tomorrow night. They're coming down for a game, and then we jump into region play, and we open with Ashley Ridge, which is, I think, probably one of the bigger series of our region schedule. They're in a series right now. They started this week, and they're playing Fort Lee. And so, you know, I get asked all the time, who's the competition in the region? And I believe that Ashley Ridge and Fort Dorchester are really good baseball teams. And so we've got to be ready to go next week. And, you know, Ashley Ridge isn't unfamiliar to us. So we'll be ready. We get two of those three games at our place, which is, we think, is very beneficial to us. But yeah, we've challenged these kids for the start of the year. I joked with our coaching staff when I told our coaching staff I thought we'd be 2-6 entering region play, not sitting here at 6-1 with one more to go before we jump into region play. So, you know, I want them to play the best teams and prepare themselves well and see where we stack up and if we're going to be ready to go when it comes region time. Our region's tough. It's a difficult region because West Ashley, Somerville, Fort D or Ashley Ridge, any of them have dudes who can beat you on any given night. So, and they're all are well coached teams. It's not like you're going to go out there and just out coach somebody to a victory. They're all really well coached teams and well prepared. So, we have to be ready to go. And I think we do that best by playing some of the best teams in the state, leading up to our region schedule. So yeah, Ashley Ridge is on my mind. We got to get through tomorrow night, for sure. Got to get through White Knoll. But Ashley Ridge is definitely on my mind with some of the talent they've got over there.
Well, look, no surprise down there where you are that it's going to be a tough region just year in and year out. And that's where I was going to go, Coach. You're kind of a lower state guy, you know, that James Island area. I used to live there. All I ever think about is the traffic. All I ever think about is the traffic. But I want to talk to you about food because you've been down there for so long. So what is it when you finally get out and you're stuck in that, you're stuck on Folly Road and you're dreaming about where you're going to go eat that night? What's the spot that you love to go to that you'd recommend to everybody?
Oh, man. Gosh, that's a difficult one because that's a two-parter. Not many people want to stay on James Island and eat. And I can't say that I blame them. We got some good places, but the choices just aren't many. And especially when you can go 5 minutes and be across the bridge downtown, or John's Island has expanded rapidly and has a ton of offerings. But, you know,
well, go downtown. If you want to, we JC Sherbert was just talking about Fleet Landing, I think. Okay. In fried calamari. So you go downtown if you want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, this time of year is so busy, it's hard to get out. But when the wife and I want to get it out and go have a good dinner, if we've got the kids in tow, we've got to go to Martin's Barbecue or, you know, Mexican. Rio Chico is always a fan favorite in our house. But Ellis Creek Fish Camp is right up the road from our house. It's a local place right on the water that has great shrimp baskets and even better happy hour deals. So that's probably a favorite of ours. And then, you know, downtown, I don't love to jump into the downtown scene a ton. I just find it a pain to go find parking everywhere, but you know, you're never going to go wrong with a Hall's Chop House or Oak Steakhouse. Those are probably top two with my wife and I are going out. But yeah, it's a good place to be if you like to eat. For sure. But there's a little known place. I'll throw this out there. If you go over to John's Island, if you can bear the traffic over there, it's called Tolly's. It's a little Italian place. It's a hole in the wall type place, but it's called Tolly's Trattoria or however you say that word. And it's probably my favorite place to go for my wife and I. It's authentic Italian. And we just go in and sit at the bar and it's get great service and the food is even better than the service that you get. So I would highly recommend that one.
Okay. Well, everybody make note that Coach Spivey dropped Hall's Chop House. They are not paying baseball coaches what they used to then. My baseball coach could not have eaten at Hall. My baseball coach would have been working at Hall's Chop House after coach.
Well, you know, every once in a while, it's okay to go down there and enjoy a trip down, but that's not an often time thing, but that's a special occasion in our household. So I just had a kid who turned 17 and I think that was where we went for his dinner in December. So it's an easy one to remember, that's for sure.
That's awesome, man. I was definitely taking notes. If you didn't notice, my family and I are coming down to Folly Beach this Saturday, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, Ellis Creek, great environment. Yeah. Really good food. Can't wait to get there. All right, last question. We'll get you out of here. Back to I think you probably got a baseball class coming up soon, don't you?
Yeah. We actually, it's probably about 5 minutes from starting, but they lift today first. So, they're going to go in the weight room with our strength coach, and then I get them about 3 o'clock. So,
all right, great. So we'll get you out of here for that then. So, all right. Well, actually, I got a two-parter. All right. First off, this is all stadium related. All right.
Okay.
If you were in the lineup, what would your walk-up song be? And then B is, what's the best item in the concession stand? Because word on the street is Chris Pond's concession stand when he was at Goose Creek was the hands down best in the state.
Ooh. All right. So this is going to ruffle some feathers when I talk about the concession stand, because those boys at the Winyaw Bay Club cafe out there in Georgetown, they do it upright. So here though, in our concession stand, I've got my head JV coaches in charge of the concessions, and I don't get in the way of that, but he will come up with some crazy things. There's times where we have like pork rinds on the menu that are covered in like they would be nachos that are unbelievable. We've had egg rolls before. And then any given night you might roll up here and have chicken bog on the menu. And that's a fan favorite. We sell out of that every single night, but we also get a lot of love from our football coach, Coach McCoy. He helps out big time. He'll go out and smoke some butts for us, and we'll have barbecue here. And I think that gains the most compliments in our concession stand when he's doing that. So, but you can't go wrong with anything in our concession stand. My JV coach loves it. That's like his pride and joy. So he does a really good job with that. But now flipping gears, if I were playing, what would my walk-up song be, man? You know, that's a tough question. I used, when I did the skills competition in Georgetown for the coaches, I used Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which is a favorite of mine. It's something we play on our playlist here when we take infield, outfield, pregame. But if I'm out on a run or something, I like to run. My wife and I are runners. And what gets me through is some Alice in Chains, Rooster. So that's the final push to get through it. I'd probably pick that as my walk-up song.
We really loved spending time with you. Didn't know how violent you were. That is a violent group, Alice in Chains. That is some but you're hardcore, Coach. That's good. You're hardcore.
In some things.
In some things. All right. Well, hey, Coach, we appreciate your time. We're going to have you back on, because I was just looking ahead at your schedule. I want to hear about these games, you know, these showdowns that you've got with Ashley Ridge and others coming up. So we're going to reach back out to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, man. I would love to.
All right. Absolutely. That's great. We'll keep up with you. That is Matt Spivey. He's going for state championship number 3, although he'll tell you he's got to deal with White Knolls in the region schedule. But they are on the march. Taj Marchand and Tripp Ostergaard and Brody Dantzler and Finn Pratt and that whole crew down there at James Island. So, Coach, we really appreciate your time. That was Matt Spivey, and I thought he was great. I was just telling you in the chat there, Steve, that I thought Matt Spivey gave us some really thoughtful answers, and I was really struck in listening back at the way that he heaped praise on his assistant coaches. And you can't do it alone in this era. You absolutely cannot. There's too much to being a high school coach. You are around it. You see these coaches all the time. And perhaps we don't talk about the staffs enough, because they're there the same hours that the head coaches are. They just don't get their name in the paper.
That's right. And we talk a lot about when we talk to these coaches, Spinny, we talk a lot about like their backgrounds and who they learn from. And I could see and sense a lot of Coach Burt Basil in him as well, that even killed, you know, personality trait. And it's not something, I'm sure it's something you can be intentional about, but it's also something that kind of has to be a fabric of your being too, you know? So it's easy to see why his teams play loose. And when you have that kind of trait inside of your program.
A lot of successful baseball coaches have slow heartbeats. You know, they just, as he said, not too high, not too low. And that is something I think that some people have to be intentional about, because you may be drawn to baseball, but to have that in your personality, not to flip out every time your team takes a loss. And we'll talk about that because in our next segment, we're going to widen the view out a little bit and talk about some of the better teams across the state. Of course, James Island is right there and we'll get a mention. We'll do that in our next segment. But some of these teams have taken some lumps early, but I still anticipate them because of the schedules that they played, that strength of schedule early, that it's only going to serve them well, and they will be there, and we will be talking about them late April and into May as these teams challenge for state championships. So we'll do that when we come back. We also have Jody Jenneret ahead, a completely different style, not a slow heartbeat, very intense. Jody Jenneret, he's taking the head job with Conway football, so it's a homecoming for Jody Jenneret. We'll do that in our final segment, but coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the spotlight, put the spotlight on some of the best baseball teams in the Palmetto State. We'll do that when we come back to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chiefs Sports Network.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
High School Show on the Chiefs Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Four Quarter Friday, Matt Smith and Steve Hall. And I said we were going to put a spotlight on some of these other baseball teams. We will circle back, certainly, to James Island. But look, I'll get my bias out of the way right up front. I am a Dorman grad, and I'm really impressed with what Jack Jolly is doing up there. They are already 8-0. They won the Classic in Georgetown. So the Dorman Cavaliers are certainly a team that we're going to keep an eye on throughout this season. Dorman is college players up and down the lineup, including third baseman Palmer Hornick, who we talked to Corey Welch from Diamond Prospects about. He was the MVP of the Classic Tournament and is committed to Virginia Tech, one of those other high-profile players that is leaving the state. And before I leave that area there in Spartanburg County, how about Boiling Springs, which is Dorman's rival? That was, you know, everybody knows about the Dorman-Spartanburg football rivalry, but Boiling Springs Dorman has a long history on the diamond. Boiling Springs, 8-1, 2-1 in Region 2 5A. Their lone loss to Dorman. Those two powers square off again tonight at Sims Field on the Dorman campus. So if you are up there in Spartanburg County and you feel like taking in some baseball, you could do a lot worse than seeing the Bulldogs and the Cavaliers tonight. They are combined 16-1.
Wow. Wow. I got another notable score, Coach Sheldon Brown. We know that name, right?
Yeah.
Is leading the South Point High School baseball team, and they just finished up a game on Tuesday against Dreher at the score of 16-0. It's like a football score.
Maybe low he's doing scoring something.
Football score, but yeah. So maybe he's doing something to them.
Yeah, maybe he's doing something up there at South Point. We've got to get Sheldon Brown on the show, obviously, with his name. We'd love to do that. And listen, you can also suggest which coaches that you'd like to see us reach out to. I mean, we've got a long list, Steve, and we won't share that because these coaches haven't been notified yet, but there's a lot of coaches that we want to reach out to. And we just had Matt Spivey on with us. Again, two-time defending state champions, and you heard him talk about the multiple college prospects, including the 5A player of the year, Taj Marchand, who is back, committed to Ole Miss, another high-profile player, as we said, leaving the state. Trip to White Knoll tonight before opening Region 8 play against Ashley Ridge next week. I've got a couple of teams that I want to mention from up there in that Golden Strip area. Hillcrest is 8-1. And I love this matchup. Hillcrest and Fountain Inn meet tonight. Fountain Inn is 11-1. Hillcrest is 8-1. And Hillcrest's lone loss is to their Golden Strip neighbor, Malden. They split their series. Fountain Inn is a 4A team. They're out of Region 1 4A. Hillcrest is a 5A team, Region 1 5A. But they will meet tonight. And Fountain Inn is on an 11-game winning streak. And they do have a big-time college prospect that's going to stay in the state. Parker Davis is committed to Clemson. Big left-hander. Fastball sits in the low 90s there from the left side. And I love this statistic. Again, that name, Parker Davis. He's given up one hit or fewer in his last three appearances. So forget runs. Just one hit or fewer the last three times he's taken the bump. That's big time. And so that's another one. I guess I said if you were in driving distance from Spartanburg County, there's another one to check out, Hillcrest and Fountain Inn. And you know those two, fan bases, they've got plenty of friction between them, which is what I love. I love the rivalries, even outside of the region. So that's another one to check out. I don't know if Parker Davis is going to be on the mound tonight or not, but if he is, you're going to see somebody that's going to be thrown for Clemson next year.
I got a question for you, Smitty. As a former baseball player yourself in this great state, what's it like to have a lefty, not even to begin talking about a lefty that's in the low 90s and is going to Clemson to play baseball? Obviously that speaks for itself, but a lefty in high school baseball is just not as common as maybe it will be in college or in the major leagues. Yep. Talk about that from what kind of advantage that gives you as a baseball team?
Well, it depends. And we've seen some of the top pitchers in our state happen to be Southpaws, but it is something, as you say, because so much of the work that you get. Now, for me, it was not a big, I happen to be a switch hitter, but a lot of guys, even from the right side, when you're a younger player, they don't like seeing lefties as much. You know, if you're not a baseball aficionado, you may not know, but right-handed batters usually have an advantage over left-handed pitchers. But you would say, well, the most batters in high school are right-handed. And so if you got a left-handed pitcher, wouldn't that be an advantage? But you don't see them as often growing up. You see, as you said, more and more lefties as you get older, more left-handed hitters go, you know, on through college and then pro ball and then into the major leagues. And if you've got a lefty, here's what really changed the game for left-handers. And they're learning this pitch younger and younger, which is the changeup. That's what, if you're a fan of the Braves, you might remember Tom Glavine was tough on righties because he threw a changeup and that circle change actually broke ever so slightly away from right-handed batters. So the talk is, as you move up as a left-handed pitcher, you've got to get a third pitch because usually you're a fastball breaking ball growing up, and then you can get a third pitch to get righties out. And they're developing that pitch younger and younger, and you can throw a changeup without it hurting your arm. You know, you don't want to teach curveballs to a kid too young. That's an old adage. But you talk about what kind of advantage it could be. Just potentially, they don't see enough good lefties from the left side. And even that breaking ball for a right-handed hitter is tough because kids now, they're getting a lot of work, but where's that work usually coming? Tee, cage, and then batting machine. So you're not seeing something like a big left-hander from that side with three pitches coming at you. So, and if you're good, you're good. And Parker Davis must be fantastic. He must be awesome. I also want to mention, hey, You're there in the Midlands, and we'll get to some Midlands team in just second in 4A. But to finish out 5A, I wanted to mention North Myrtle Beach. I've got my eyes on them. So impressive. Seven straight wins out of the box. They're 7-0. They won the East Coast Invitational, and they did something that is so difficult. I just saw the classic in Georgetown and how hard this can be on a pitching staff. North Myrtle Beach, 4 wins in 4 days over top-level in-state competition. The junior center fielder, Evan Studel, was the tournament MVP, hit 364 against some really good clubs, had a 2-run homer in the championship game against Lucy Beckham, which is a good club. And North Myrtle Beach goes for a 3-game sweep against Conway tonight. And before we leave 5A, I've got to mention Berkeley, the defending 5A Division II champs. They open region play at Lucy Beckham coming up on Tuesday. And here's one of those teams I'm saying keep an eye on. Berkeley's only 3-3, but keep an eye on the Stags. Even though they're 3-3, their schedule has been brutal by design. This is a team that was 11-10 last season, and they finished on an 11-game winning streak, won all 7 games in the playoffs, and won the state championship. They know what they're doing there at Berkeley. Do not sleep on the Stags.
And Coach Landy Cox just, I think, got his 400th victory.
That's right.
Last week or earlier this week. So congratulations to him.
How about having him on the show? I mean, 400 wins.
Oh, that's, we can do I think that.
We can do. Do you know Coach Cox?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great.
You know all these coaches. Yeah, he's great. So we'll have all them on. And in the Midlands, Airport defending 4A champs. They open a 2-game series against South Aiken tonight. They've already got wins. They're 7-1 at Airport. They've got wins over Dutch Fork, Somerville, Spring Valley, Irmo. They won a pair of pitchers' duels with Aiken last week. And AC Flora, certainly a team that we've got our eye on. Andy Hallett, who is going into the South Carolina Baseball Hall of Fame this spring, 5-2. But here's how good they are. They just beat Richland Northeast 19-0. And they've got a College of Charleston commit, Roper Winsky, playing there, who's going to go and play at with Chad Holbrook at College of Charleston. And AC Florida, the 2 losses to Dorman and Blythewood, 2 of the better clubs in the state.
You may have just said this too, Smitty, but they're the only blemish on James Island's schedule so far. Yep.
AC Flora.
Yep. And Roper Winsky also was the QB1 for the Falcons during the fall. So the guy's just a player. I mean, he's a dual sport athlete. Coaches talk about it all the time. That sets them up really well for every sport they play. And whenever they go, you know, specialize in college, that's a huge, huge plus.
There's another coach that we'll have to have on, Andy Hallett, going into the Hall of Fame. So you're right. So Coach Cox, 400 wins. Coach Hallett going to the Baseball Hall of Fame. So we've got some coaches that we're going to have on. And I've got to mention at least one team from 3A, 2A, and 1A before we get Coach Jennerette on. Southside Christian, we know that they're 4-4. That's someone I saw them lose a game to James Island at the Classic in Georgetown. But James Island, Fountain Inn, who we mentioned earlier, 11-1. 1-run losses to AC Florida and Chapin. Southside Christian is good. Don't worry about that 4-4 record. And they not only do they have the top prospect in the state, a left-hander in Bowman, they have got 2 more college pitchers on that staff. So look for Southside Christian to continue handling their business. We'll track them. Batesburg Leesville, I wanted to mention, 5-3. What I really like about Batesburg Leesville right now, their 1-2 punch on the mound, 2 two-way players. Tyler Neese, right-hander, big-time pitching performance, got a win over Strom Thurmond earlier this week, 6-5. And they've got a VCU commitment, Virginia Commonwealth. And the Rams just beat North Carolina in the tournament. You wouldn't know that. You're not doing a bracket. But
I saw that. I saw that.
You saw that one. And, hey, and let's throw a light quickly on MacBee from 1A, 5-2. So it's 2 sets of Panthers, Batesburg, Leesville, and MacBee. We've got to mention MacBee have outscored their last 3 opponents, 38-6. MacBee is off tonight. Don't have a Friday night game, but they've got rivals Chesterfield and C.A. Johnson next week. Listen, we'll expand this just as we did in basketball season. We will talk about more and more teams, but those are some of either your defending state champions or teams expected to compete for state championships. this year that deserve a tip of the cap for what they've already done early in the season.
And great job saying Mac be right. That's important.
That's important. I know they'll get on me up there in Chesterfield. You don't want to get tangled up with people from Chesterfield if you say something wrong. All right, we got to get a break because we have to leave time to speak with Coach Jody Jenneret. I'm telling you, this is going to get you fired up. Jody Jenneret, new head coach at Conway High School. He's already got those boys working in the weight room. We'll hear all about it when we come back with Coach Jenneret on Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cards while you're at it.
I knew I'd like that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch-up? Visit recoatrevolution.com in South Carolina today.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
We are back on Four Quarter Friday, and as promised, we have new Conway head coach Jody Jenneret joining us. And Coach, thank you for coming on the show with us, and tell us, if you would, a little bit of the story, how you got hooked up with Conway, because I know, look, it's got a great history dating back to the Big 16 days, and then so much has changed in the last 20 years. Tell us about you getting hooked up with Conway and how that marriage came to be.
You know, well, obviously I coached here before when we were really good. We had a great run for about 6 years when I was here. The last 3 years, we played for three straight state championships. Didn't win one, but it was obviously a great time to be a Tiger. And got an opportunity to go to Ainar, and it went it was a tough spot. Everybody knows Ainar's a tough job. And we got lucky enough to kind of wind up at West Florence. And that's where the whole kind of career took off, I think, from that aspect of things. And loved every second I was there. Great people. I was just driving so far. I was driving from Conway to Florence every day. That was an hour. And that was no bueno the last couple of years. And told Greg Johnson, my athletic director, I weren't coming back the year before. So gave me a year to get ready for it. And took a year off, went to North Myrtle, had a great time there. But, you know, Conway's always been that spot that's always kind of been calling me back, and just felt like this was the right time to come back. And it's been incredible so far since we got here. And I'm now itching, ready to get back on the field. You know, we've been in the weight room for a long time, and you can lift all you want, but at some point in time, they've got to watch you coach, and they've got to see kind of how you do things. So that's the next phase, is getting out there for spring ball and seeing what we're going to do.
Coach, you mentioned spring ball. We're just around the corner, maybe a little bit more than a month away. But since you've been back, you've had an opportunity to bring back some Conway Tigers back to your coaching staff. Do you want to tell us about your coaching staff real quick?
Yeah, it's been really cool. We got Peyton Derrick come back. He's going to call the plays for us. He'll be the offense coordinator. He is – obviously got college coaching experience at Newberry and Tusculum, and got a lot of playing experience in college with, you know, Wofford, App, and definitely back at the Citadel, that kind of thing. So, you know, me and him have been connected for a while, and this just wound up being perfect fit, perfect time. And he's got a great plan, and, you know, we're ready to kind of get going with that. The Darren Granger was a home run hire for us. Darren was coaching at Caroline Forest last year, and, you know, I told him when I had this process, I said, man, you know, you're a Conway Tiger. And we got him, and he is phenomenal, man. The way he carries himself, the way he communicates, he is a diamond in the rough. I think he's going to be a big-time coach. He already is, to be honest with you. And then, of course, bringing back Junior Hemaway. Junior's an NFL guy from this area. I actually coached Junior the last couple of years I was at Conway, and, you know, he's been helping. He helps with track right now, and he's helped with football before. But I think he's the kind of guy I want to bring in. Our guys can kind of see, you know, this guy's an NFL guy. Obviously, Darren, same way. Peyton, the same. All these guys got out of Conway, had great careers at college, and came now they want to come back and give back. And then Greg Hill, the former head football coach at North Myrtle, he's going to run our defense for us. Obviously, he's still at North Myrtle, so logistically that's been a little issue. But, you know, nobody, there's only one guy who wanted to run our defense, and we got him. And I am beyond excited to see what he's going to do with these kind of athletes.
Coach, obviously Conway's coming off of a rough year. When you first got to Conway and you started working with the kids in the weight room, what are your first priorities for the program to get it back to where you know it needs to be?
You know, when we were here before, we were so strong and we were just so much – our strength program was so far ahead of everybody, to be honest. It weren't because of me. It was because of the kind of athletes we had and the buy-in we had. But now, you know, obviously we've got to bring that back. And honestly, there's a good foundation here of talented kids that are strong and a lot better than people think. I think the biggest thing with just getting them all kind of on the same page, get them in class, and we got them. We were able to get half of them in one block and half of them in another block. It's a great job by our administrative team here. You know, coaches win games, administration wins championships, and, you know, they've been absolutely incredible since I got here. But, you know, we're not that far away. I was blown away by our senior group, how strong those kids are, the buy-in they've had. And, you know, it's like shaving. I mean, you got to lift weights every day. If you don't lift every day, you get ugly. And now we're back to lifting every single day, and it's been incredible.
Coach, I wonder if you're going to talk to the kids at all in terms of messaging and pride, because life moves fast. You know, as Steve said, it was a struggle last year on the field. But I know there's so much pride in that Block C with the Leaping Tiger, the county seat of Horry County, all of those things, the one town, one team. Now Carolina Forest is there, but it used to be one town, one team, and such pride in it. Is that something you talk about, or do you expect to instill that as time goes on?
Yeah, we talk about it, but it don't matter until we got to hit somebody in the face. You know, Conway football is still Conway football. I think the biggest thing I took away from the process to begin with is everybody was asking me why Conway? I said, because it's Conway football. I mean, this place is immersed in Conway football. They want to win. They want to be successful. And it's frustrating, obviously, the last couple of years, how things have gone. And, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's just the way things have been. But I will say this, the same night that I got hired here, there was one comment about the North Myrtle Beach hire, two comments about the St. James hire. And I want to say there was 162 comments about the Conway job on social media. So that goes to show you these people want to win, and they're tired of losing. And there's a lot of belief here that we can get this thing fixed. I owe it to our seniors to not call it a rebuild. I hate rebuilds. I hate saying we're going to fix it in a couple of years. We need to win right now for these guys, and we need to win right now for this community. Will it be tough? Absolutely, it's going to be tough. But deep down inside, it's still Conway football. So we've got to get that back and get our kids to believe in that. And we'll start that this spring. We've done a glimpse of it so far, but I'm ready to immerse them in it in spring ball in the summer.
Coach, So you've kind of hit on this, but, you know, from the competitive nature standpoint, you know, I hear it right off the bat. I mean, I've seen videos of y'all in the weight room already. I mean, y'all are jumping in there. I mean, it's high energy, high intensity, like almost everyone. But, man, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's awesome. What is your schedule looking like this year with the new classification reclassification going on? You'll have y'all's schedule all lined up already?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I know we play Loris week one or week zero, whatever they're calling it now, and I have no clue who's after that. Our schedule's tough. But, you know, everybody looks at our schedule and they say, man, that's tough. That's tough. Everybody blah, 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 having a pity party. And I told him, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if Conway had this exact same schedule, everybody would be saying 8-2, 9-1. And I know we're not there yet, but that's my belief system anyway. But yeah, the region's incredible. I mean, you bring in South Florence, obviously they're a powerhouse. I know they made some changes, but they'll still be good. West is still West. And then you bring in the schools from around here that have already been in that region. So, you know, we've got to find a way to beat Myrtle Beach. We've got to find a way to beat Caroline Forest. And we're not there yet, probably, if you look at it on paper. But those are teams that we have to kind of get to where we can beat regularly. That's how it used to be. But, you know, that's going to be tough. But I believe in what we're doing. I believe in the people we're bringing in. And, you know, the schedule is the schedule. Here's the thing. Everybody's region's tough. Everybody says that region. I don't care what nobody says. Everybody's region's tough. It don't matter if it's 1A or 5A. You know, you got to win. You got to win some games. And go out there and win and stop whining about it.
Coach, you've got a reputation. You've already talked about the strength program as well, building a program in the weight room, at least starting there, at least laying that foundation there. Yep. Talk to us about it a little bit, because I know it's more than just lifting and getting your body ready. What is it that you do and you see in a strength program that translates to the field?
It's the belief system first. They've got to believe in you. They've got to know that you have their back. I've got to know they've got my back. And it starts when you come in there every single day, because, I mean, the grind to be really good in football is a daily grind. And the biggest thing is they've got to see you. I think there's a myth. Some high school football coaches think they're general managers. You know, they think they can just kind of walk around and look at people. They've got to see you in there. They got to see you grinding with them. They got to see you screaming at them. They got to see you understanding what weight they got on the bar. Why ain't you doing more? I think that's the biggest misconception I have with coaches nowadays, is they think they're like above that grind, and I'm never going to be above that. You've got to get in there and get dirty, and they've got to understand that this is if you truly believe in it, they've got to see you in that weight room every single day. And whenever they start seeing that, then it gets contagious. People start having good juice, good energy, and then hopefully that carries on onto the field.
Coach, I hear the excitement in your voice, and you mentioned want to get on that field. Who are some of the players that you're really excited to go see on the gridiron this coming fall?
You know, I don't really want to say too much, because I haven't really – they've done nothing for me yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that from – I'm not being arrogant when I say that. But, you know, there's body types here. There's guys that I absolutely think can play. But I won't know until we go out there and we hit a little bit. And, you know, obviously starts at quarterback. I know everybody's wondering who's going to be the quarterback. Noah Legg's been a guy that's been the quarterback here. Mykel Canny is a kid I think can do it too. And we might bump Noah around, because I think he can do other things. And I think Mykel can do other things too. But we're lucky, I think, in that aspect, is we have two guys that's actually played quarterback here that can take a snap that we think can lead. And you look at some schools right now, they have absolutely no clue who their quarterback is going to be. And if he is the quarterback, he might not be any good. But I think both those guys can take us and go win games. I've been blown away by the offensive line. I think, you know, right now, Drew, I think we got 10 guys I think can play. I don't know how great they are, but I think they can actually line up and run power for us. And defensively, obviously our strength is going to be defensive line. And, you know, I'm petrified about our secondary right now. I'm scared to death. I don't know. That's my biggest fear. And it's not a knock on those kids. It's just our body types are kind of iffy right now in those spots. But, you know, if we got some offensive linemen that can run power, the Tigers are going to be okay.
You know, that's what I wanted to hear about, Coach, because one of the things I like is seeing a program get an identity. And obviously, yeah, you just got back to Conway, but it sounds to me like, hey, your identity is going to be much like it has at some other schools, which is you want to win the line of scrimmage, whatever it takes.
Sure. Sure. But I think the thing about here that's different than where obviously Andrew or North Florida Beach is, you should have guys that can take it over the top too. We can take shots. We can throw the ball if we have to. You know, and I just think there's going to be guys here can go up and get it. And Conway kids come out of the womb playing running back. There's been so many great running backs here. It's unbelievable. And we have got to run power. I told our coaches the other day, we have something that we believe in. And our belief system is going to be around running power and taking shots. And that's what I want to do. And I think the biggest fear right now in this community is we're just going to run. Well, I mean, we're going to take shots. But, I mean, for us right now at the growth stage that we're on, the better we can run the football, the less we have to play defense, that's where we're going to help us find a way to win some games this year.
Let me jump in again and ask that, Coach, because one thing I don't know that's talked about enough is – just the sheer number of bodies. You're talking about body types. What about like depth? In other words, you said keeping your defense off the field. How many players do you think you're going to have?
My magic number is on varsity is always about 55 or 60. I don't know how in the world teams like Carolina Forest have 200 kids at practice. I pulled my hair out, and I know I ain't got none, but I pulled the follicles out after that. But, yeah, I love 55, 60. That's my magic number. That's what I've always carried. That's what I've always liked. And I think we're close to that. JV-wise, I hope we have 35. If we can get 90 to 100 in our program, I feel really good. And, obviously, there'll be excitement. There'll be a ton of kids coming out that haven't come out before. And by the time you get through summer, June and July, you'll get those numbers down to kind of where you should be and where they need to be. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that 55 to 60 number. It's always been kind of where I like to be. So if we can get there, I'll be real happy.
Coach, man, this is making me want to come up to Horry County again. And
get low. Game better change your pad level if you're coming up here.
That's right. I wasn't surprised to hear you talk about power. That's your staple everywhere you've been, man. We're kind of affiliated with a show called Inside the Gamecocks. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but we're on the Chiefs Sports Network, and me and you go way back, and we talk about those connections whenever we see makes sense. And you coached a really special South Carolina football offensive lineman named T.J. Johnson.
Yep.
Have y'all kept up much over the years?
Yeah, we keep texting here and there. He's lost so much weight, man. I can't even talk with him anymore. I'm disappointed. He looks like I think he's got abs now. So I'm he's very disappointed in him. Nah, man, he's got a beautiful family, beautiful wife. He's a preacher now. He does duck calls on the side. He is the prototype human being that you want as your program, that you wanted to be a part of. And I am just so proud of the man that he's become. And he's phenomenal. And he has a close relationship with the Lord. And when you talk with him, it beams through him. And I can't say enough good things about that dude. And the crazy thing about him, man, like you said, people still talk about him to this day. I think he started more games than anybody in the history of South Carolina football. And I don't think that record's going to get broken anytime soon. So I'm fired up about him, man. I love that dude to death.
Coach, you know, one of the things we've enjoyed with speaking with coaches is learning about kids from this generation, because I think what we see oftentimes is maybe a kid posting something on social media. And so we don't know. So you tell us, are there differences between kids from 15 years ago and today? Are they more the same? Are the parents different? Communities different? What can you tell us about coaching now versus coaching when you first started?
I'll be honest with you, man. I haven't seen everybody whines about kids these days. They're going to do what you let them do. I mean, if you let them away with that kind of stuff, they're going to act like that. Kids want discipline. They want structure. They want to be a part of a program like that. And if the ones that don't want to be a part of it, you don't need them anyway. But, man, I don't get into that. My number one goal as a coach, I didn't want to become old, miserable coach. And so far I've not been that old, miserable coach that whines about this guy or whines about how things are going. Man, it's 2026. It's 70 degrees in Conway, South Carolina. I'm loving life. And we're going to coach them up the same way I coached them up 20 years ago. And if you're scared to coach a kid, or then he's not going to help you. He's not going to make a play that matters. The only guys that's going to make plays are the same plays that love being coached. I want guys that want to get coached. Yes, parents have changed a little bit. I think they've allowed some type of softness to creep into the family structure. But for the most part, man, if you're straight up with them and you tell them this is how it's going to be, they'll buy in as well. And the ones that keep giving you a hard time, they don't want to be there anyway. So they need to go ahead and hit the portal.
Well, another thing we like to hear coaches talk about are other coaches. I'm interested. You've been around and you've seen these other programs, and you told us you just told us about your great staff that you've put together. Who do you respect? Other coaches maybe in your region or beyond, PD, Grand Strand and everything. Who do you really respect that you could tell us about?
None of them. Nah, man. I think Drew Marlowe is still underrated. I think what he did at that place, and I know he had some players, transfer in. But Drew is kind of the epitome of what I've talked about, a coach that's not a CEO. My man is involved in every single aspect of that program from the top to the bottom. And super impressive job that he did at South. You know, we were really good at West, and I think we won 11 games three different times, and we just couldn't beat them guys. It's frustrating. But, obviously Mickey at Myrtle Beach, he's done a fantastic job, won a bunch of rings. He's had really good players that come through there. And, I can go on and on, but those guys kind of stand out as far as guys that are around here that I really admire. But I admire the guys that are at little 1A schools that's winning five or six games too, because those are the guys that's coaching their butt off, because they haven't coached both ways. They haven't coached special teams. They don't have the multitude of coaches that we have. So I obviously a place like a Lakeview, I've always been enthralled by that place with how many state championships they've won. And those are the kind of guys I like to talk ball with.
Well, I think I told Smitty when the news broke that you were being hired at Conway, I was like, man, Conway's about to get good real quick, because you were able to do, what your coaches were able to do at Ainer, where you had to figure out a way, and going up against teams like Dillon all the time, man. But got one last question for you. We'll let you hit the road, because I know you probably got a football class coming up soon.
Yeah, no doubt.
What's on the weight room playlist today?
Oh, it's old school, man. These guys don't remember any of the stuff I played today. I think we went Metallica first, and we went AC/DC next. I threw in a little bit of rap, but man, it's from like 2000. It's OPP and all that kind of old school rap. I ain't playing none of this new stuff, man. If I can't understand the words in it, we ain't playing it. So they'll figure it out. They better learn something that if it's old school rap, old school hip hop, and old school rock and roll, that's what we listen to.
Hey, when Metallica comes to Charlotte or Atlanta again, let's go.
No doubt. Hit me up.
All right.
That is Coach Jennerette here on Four Quarter Friday. We're back with more after this. Stay tuned here on the Chief Sports Network.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina, with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Run power often. That Coach Smitty, that's under Coach Jennerette's bio, and that is his take on the RPO. Run power often. That was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic. And I knew he'd get us fired up, and it makes you ready for football season. And just those conversations we were able to have today with Jody Jennerette, new head coach at Conway, and Matt Spivey, baseball coach at James Island. I just love the way those two guys approach their jobs. And there were so many things in there that you could take apart. And I'll tell you something that Coach Jennerette said, and he said quite a bit, but one of the things that jumped out to me is, hey, we're going to go over the top. We're going to run the football, as you said, run power often, as you mentioned. That was a staple of his at West Florence and at Ainer and other places. But Coach Jenneret said, we should have athletes at Conway where we can attack you in the run game and then hurt you over the top. And one thing I saw at Conway last year, and it didn't really play out this way, but I saw them initially at the CNB Jamboree early in the season, and I looked at what they had on the outside, and one of those players was Jordan Jenkins, who's since gone. He's gone on to the Citadel, 6'4" wide receiver. But I thought, oh, if Noah Legg at quarterback, they can make plays over the top. And it didn't always materialize for Conway, but it's good to hear Coach Jenneret, or good to hear if you're a Conway football fan, he's not going to forget about that. He knows he has athletes on the outside. Now, as I said, Jordan Jenkins has taken off, but they still got more players, and they've got at least, he thinks, two quarterbacks. First of which is Noah Legg, who started a lot last year, who can get the football out. So anyway, that's that. That plenty of time to talk about football, but I was just all excited, Steve, just hearing from two coaches that are of that ilk. That look, they're different because one's a baseball coach, as we said, with a slow heartbeat, and one is a football coach who's been living in the weight room. But on both sides, you can see how they have been successful and why they're going to continue to be successful.
Yeah, and Smitty, we're going to get into this as we get to warmer weather. The summer comes. We're going to start previewing the fall. You know, we got to get through some great spring baseball and softball and talk soccer next week with Coach Kevin Heisey at Gray Collegiate, who is a big part of the South Carolina Coaches Association for soccer. You know, when you talk about or you think about most improved teams, football teams next season, I'm suspecting Conway will be maybe the most improved football team that hired a new coach this year.
High expectations, and Jody Jenneret is fine with that. All right, we're getting out of here. I do want to mention in the chat, James tells us that, Steve, it's going to be 87 on Folly Beach this weekend. Don't worry about it. The kids will be in the water plenty, and he also suggests Lost Dog for breakfast, the Lost Dog Cafe.
Okay.
I've been many, many times, and yeah, but you got to get there early. You're going to stand in line. So that's it for us. That is Steve Hall. I'm Matt Smith. I hope your brackets are going well. Stay with us on the Chief Sports Network. Inside the Gamecocks is next. You've been listening to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.